This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Diane Roberts. U.S. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden continue to cast each other as a threat to Americans' day-to-day security. The Democratic presidential candidate, Biden, says he will visit Kenosha, Wisconsin Thursday, 2 days after Republican President Donald Trump. Wednesday, President Trump marked Japan's surrender in World War II by saluting American strength and taking a swipe at his November rival. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
In front of a battleship in North Carolina, the president saluted 97-year-old Herschel Woody Williams, a Medal of Honor recipient who fought at Iwo Jima.
He's 100% sharp. I know a 78-year-old that's not so sharp.
A shot at Joe Biden. While the White House had said there was no political purpose in the visit to North Carolina, a key battleground, the president hit Biden and the Democrats as stone-cold crazy, and invoking recent violence in some cities, said the only way to respond is through strength.
We're not ashamed in America. We're not ashamed of anything.
Accusing Democrats of standing with anarchists and against law enforcement. Sagar Magani, Washington.
For his part, Joe Biden lashed out at the Trump administration's handling of the coronavirus during a campaign stop in his home state of Delaware, as millions of students start a new school year either virtually or under restrictive conditions. Wednesday, Canada said it, quote, strongly condemned the poisoning of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny and called on Moscow to explain what happened and ensure those responsible were held accountable. The foreign minister said in a tweet, quote, the use of chemical weapons is despicable and abhorrent, end quote. Earlier Wednesday, Germany said a Soviet-style Novichok nerve agent had been used to poison Navalny. This is VOA News. Syrian air defenses Wednesday intercepted missiles fired by an Israeli warplane at an airbase in central Syria, state news agency Sana said in the second such Israeli strike this week. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights confirmed the attack on the airbase, saying Israel was likely responsible. Wednesday's attack was the second this week after Israeli strikes on Monday killed one civilian, three government troops, and seven allied foreign fighters, according to the observatory, a war monitor. The International Criminal Court, ICC, Wednesday said moves by the U.S. government to place sanctions on its prosecutor were an attack on international justice and the rule of law. The court was responding after the U.S. government moved to blacklist ICC prosecutor Fatou Bensouda because she had launched an investigation into whether American forces committed war crimes in Afghanistan. The sanctions are, quote, unprecedented and constitute serious attacks against the court, the Rome Statute system of international criminal justice, and the rule of law more generally, end quote, the world's permanent war crimes court said in a statement. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Wednesday any new Lebanese government must pursue fundamental reforms to benefit the Lebanese people and regional security. Pompeo told reporters, quote, business as usual in Lebanon just is unacceptable, end quote. An August 4th blast at the port in the capital of Beirut killed at least 190 people, shackled the country's economy, and brought down the government. Pompeo added the United States and France shared, quote, the same objective, end quote, for Lebanon. French President Emmanuel Macron was in Beirut Tuesday for consultations. Amnesty International has accused the Iranian government of overseeing a campaign of human rights abuses during a crackdown last year on nationwide protests that were sparked by soaring fuel prices. The rights group said in a report released Wednesday, Iran resorted to torture, rape, and other ill treatment of those involved in the November unrest that rocked the Islamic Republic. Iranian officials said about 200,000 people participated in the protests, while the chair of Parliament's Security Committee estimated at least 7,000 were arrested, and rights groups said the number of detainees was in the thousands. South Africa's state power utility ramped up power cuts Wednesday as cold weather caused a spike in demand after many of its generating units had broken down. The struggles to power Africa's most industrialized nation are one of the main obstacles to economic growth. The company increased power cuts to stage 4 Wednesday, just one day after implementing stage 2 cuts. By remote, Diane Roberts, VOA News.